Hey, everybody, this is Lauren Marie Taylor, and you are listening to the most amazing podcast called Don't Go Out There. So listen up, don't go out there, stay out of the woods.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
What's up, everyone? I want to thank you, everyone, for tuning in again to Don't Go Out There Podcast. Dustin, Brian, Nico here. We all had the pleasure, of seeing In a Violent Nature recently, recently released movie. We went to the theater and saw it, so we're going to join you tonight with some quick reactions from the theater. Nico and I posted a TikTok exclusive reaction. So if you don't follow us on TikTok, what are you doing? But other than that, lead us off with some general thoughts. Brian, what'd you think?
First of all, what's the TikTok? Never heard of it.
Old man yells at cloud.
All right. So I wanted to like this. I really did because I like how original it is. It's got a nice original concept. Again, that's something that's we've been harping about that's kind of gone by the wayside, or at least a new way of showing you that concept. And I really wanted to like it. It was mid to me and all the way up until the last act. And then the last act, it just lost me. So I know we kind of said this before a little bit, but given our ratings, I think I would give it somewhere in their 3.5 rating for me right now if I had to give it one.
Okay. Nico, hold on. Before you go, Nico, how about the fact that Brian said, what's TikTok, and then used the word mid to describe something?
So, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Nico.
Selective usefulness, right?
Don't try to.
Anywho, listen, man, this movie's not perfect by any means. It's definitely not great either. But quick thoughts, I'm not mad that I went and saw the movie. I'm not mad that I took my time to go see it. It was interesting, really good kills. But, you know, when we get into our pros and cons, I'll dive deeper into that. I don't regret seeing the movie. I do agree it's mid throughout, but I would be probably like in the 5 to 6 range just because I enjoyed something a little different. And I'll touch on a friend of the show, Ian Van Gool. He wrote a Letterboxd review that I understand where he's coming from, and I'll touch on that in a little bit.
Okay. So for me, I went into this movie relatively blind. Like I told you guys, I think right before I went to the theater, I didn't watch the trailer beforehand. I didn't read about the movie. And then right before I went, I did. And I told you guys that this movie is like, it seems like it's going to be someone copied Jason Voorhees' homework, but didn't want the teacher to know. And after watching the movie, yeah, that's pretty much what it was to me. I'll get us kicked off with the positives, though. We'll go positives first. I thought the atmosphere was great. You know, the woods setting and everything was really well done. I love the lack of score. Like, it made you feel like you were dropped in the woods and you were there with them. I know Brian's shaking his head, but I really did. I appreciated that. And another thing is going to draw his ire. I love the aspect ratio. Listen, if
Why?
You're going to
if you're going to fucking aspect
I'll tell
ratio
you. If you're going to make a pseudo 80 slasher, why not go all out? This movie feels like it was made. I know it wasn't, and there's cell phones and whatnot. The characters are modern, but this movie basically ripped off everything the 80s has to offer. So why not get the aspect ratio right? The movie did drag a little when you're following Johnny through the woods, but I think it was intentional. Like, we were experiencing this as he did. He walked for miles through the woods, and I feel like we were doing that with him. So I think that really helped to build the tension and build the atmosphere as well. We did get some really cool shots. Like, he'd be doing something, and he would pause, and he would be just framed perfectly. It's like not center of the screen, not taking up the full screen, just like kind of a few steps back looking at him. And we got some really cool shots out of it. I can tell you right now, we're going to get some really good Almost Friday memes out of this movie. And so be on the lookout for those when we drop them. So hats off to writer and director Chris Nash for the most part. Do have some nitpicks about some choices, but for the most part, the directing and the cinematography was well done.
Was that pun intended when you said almost Friday? Like this was almost Friday the 13th. Like it was close, yeah. But it wasn't quite there.
No, I mean like almost Friday as in we're looking forward to it. Not like I want Jason Voorhees. We have Jason Voorhees at home and it'd be this. I love how methodical Rye Barrett moved. Like he stalked at a great pace. We've talked about that a lot. And when we talk about actors portraying Jason Voorhees, I think that his speed, his movement speed, and just the way he carried himself was great. My only exception to that is when he was reaching in to, you know, grab the one guy's chest. Felt like that shot lingered for way too long. We didn't need to see that shot for 2 minutes. That's what it felt like. Got just a couple more. We got some really cool gore and kills. I don't know what the budget was on this movie because it's not listed, but they did an incredible job. There was a couple of times you could tell it was a dummy and not a body, but for the most part, the effects were great. The blood was very well done. We've seen countless times how the blood can be, you know, the wrong color, the wrong consistency, and it just ruins it and honestly can almost ruin a movie, but they nailed it in this. So I like that. Yeah, so that's all I've got on positives. Brian, what do you like about the movie?
First, I had a little bit of a, I have not seen anybody use this comparison either. And so, but this reminded me of, and it's because I used to play it so much, it felt like I was watching someone on YouTube play the Friday the 13th video game on PlayStation 4 and for a lot of it. As positives though, let's say the gore was good. It was great. Now that also goes into my negatives. It's kind of funny that me and Dustin didn't really care for the movie, but yet for different reasons. That's what's interesting. Laura Marie Taylor was good in her little part. And I know that's something you didn't care for either, but I thought that her part in the truck, I thought the tension in that was very good. Something I don't think the tension was very good throughout the movie. I didn't really feel tension. And it had good atmosphere. I mean, it felt like I was out in the woods. By God, I had to, because there was no soundtrack. I fucking was listening to the nature shots in the woods the entire time, but I didn't feel that tension that I wanted to. But I did feel that at the very end. So I'll give that one definitely as a positive. That in the truck, I felt like, oh shit. Okay. I kept waiting for him to bust out, kept waiting for something to happen to them. And, you know, spoiler alert, nothing ever did, but I felt that tension.
Yeah.
Nico? All right. Positives. Just like you mentioned, Dustin, I thought Rye Barrett did a great job as Johnny. Cadence, kills. I even like the look. I like the old school firefighter helmet. I know some people have made fun of it, say it looks like a Minions or that villain off of SpongeBob, whatever. I like the look personally. The kills, most of the kills were really good, especially the yoga kill. Obviously, it's one of the, honestly, one of the most iconic, memorable kills I've ever seen in a movie. I've seen people online say Art the Clown has competition now. Maybe.
Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dustin. I noticed in my theater as well, because I was like in the second row, and there was legitimately 3 feet on each side of the big screen that was like not showing anything. I appreciated the aspect ratio. I like the no soundtrack. I like hearing Johnny walking through the woods, even though it does get monotonous. Ian Van Gool, friend of the show, you know, he just like you wrote, Brian, campy 80s slasher in a video game format. When we follow along with Johnny, it's like playing a video game. Anytime we watch from another perspective, it's like watching a cutscene from that video game. It's brilliant. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I don't think the issue is with Johnny or just following him personally. I know I've seen some people say the movie doesn't have tension. Listen, we've watched every Friday the 13th, Halloween, Chucky, Nightmare on Elm Street, any of you can insert any slasher movie. We've probably watched it on this show. I don't really watch slashers for tension at this point because they don't scare me anymore. I just watch them for fun. I just watch them for the hell of it. Like, I think James G. Courtney is great, but I don't think any of those movies are tense per se. I just like watching their performance. And I think Johnny gave a great performance. Rye Barrett, I think he gave a great performance. And I agree with you as well, Brian. Lauren Marie Taylor, friend of the show. I hate that I missed her interview because she seemed so bubbly and wonderful. I thought she did a great job acting as well. I do agree with Dustin. We mentioned on the TikTok thing, the end in the truck does drag on way too long, but I think she did a great job.
Yeah. And before we get into the negatives, Nico, you mentioned the look of Johnny. So that's another thing I meant to touch on. Early on in the movie, they only showed his head from, you know, behind or in the background of shots out of focus. I accepted that. I thought, okay, we're probably not going to get to see his face, and I'm good with it because I was worried that it would look awful. You know, because like I said, I'm not sure what the budget was, but I can't imagine it was a whole lot. But when we finally got the face reveal, I thought it was good. Looked great. Especially the eyes. I thought the contacts were a great choice to make his eyes look like that. Also, the lip and teeth decaying looked pretty good. So I'm good on them for that. And Nico, you mentioned the mask. I, too, didn't have a problem with the mask because it makes sense. You know, this happened 70 years ago is when he was killed. They put that as an era-specific mask that would have been available, especially if they buried him at a fireman tower. So I thought the mask was fine with me. Let's get into the negatives, though. Look, point blank, the acting was bad across the board. Outside of Lauren Marie Taylor, Brian, you mentioned that I didn't really care for the car ride at the end, and I'll get to that, trust me. But it wasn't because of her. She was the best acting in the movie. She was the only one who seemed believable. The rest felt and sounded like they were reading a script, possibly for the first time. No disrespect. I know acting is incredibly hard. That's why so few people get to do it for a living. But to me, it felt like the actors didn't spend enough time with the script. Like they hadn't familiarized themselves with the characters enough to make them their own. And it felt like it was a first time reading. I don't know. It was just the cadence, the way they delivered the lines didn't work for me. Hand in hand with that, the dialogue was bad. Just bad. The actors should have made the characters more of their own. But then again, maybe Chris Nash, you know, the director didn't allow them to do that because he also wrote the movie. Maybe he was sensitive about his work. I don't know. Also, I didn't really like the premise. Okay, the necklace was enchanted. How? Why? Also, in the opening shot, like the opening shot of the movie, the necklace is hanging on a pole, but there wasn't a hook on the back of the pole. How was it hanging there? Like, we got an overhead shot of the pole sticking out of the ground. There's nothing that it could have been hanging on. And it didn't look like it was hanging across the top of the pole. It looked like it was slid down a little bit, hanging off the back. So a detail so small really soured me a little on the movie from the get-go in the first few minutes. And then, you know, how was he killed 70 years ago as a kid? Why was he a grown man when he's resurrected? Like, how does that make sense? And why were his clothes in such good shape? Like, why was his flesh not decomposed more? I get that we're supposed to suspend disbelief with the premise, but that did bother me. I can't lie. Major, major, major criticism. How the hell did no one hear or see him at all? This is the heaviest walking motherfucker yeah. I've ever seen in my life. And no one ever heard him until Yoga Girl heard him step on a stick. And then multiple times throughout the movie, you know, we're following the killer, so we're seeing things from where he's standing. Other characters would be, you know, facing his direction or their heads were turned within seeing distance. If they have any peripheral vision, they would have seen him. Like, it's like he was invisible.
Yeah.
What the hell was that about? And then the last 20 minutes of the movie, I checked my phone to see what time it was, and then I checked it again when the credits rolled. So the last 20 minutes of the movie absolutely sucked to me. Moron jumps out, gets hacked to death, which we knew what was going to happen. Okay, I can live with that. That's not the part that bothered me. He's whispering, quote unquote, at what sounds like normal speaking volume, including the loudest shush I've ever heard in my life. And then once he gets killed, the excessive hacking. It was funny at first, but Jesus, at some point it's not funny anymore. Another thing about that sequence. So I'm from East Tennessee. I've spent a lot of time in the woods. I've never heard the woods be that loud. It sounded like damn banshees in the woods or like they were in the jungle. And how did she get a stick through the leg? Like she's running and all of a sudden she gets a stick through her leg. How? And then Johnny never found her, or heard her screaming or nothing. Okay. We get some great shots when she makes it to the road, but you know, she's standing there and we see the woods for miles and miles. She's in the middle of this road. It's another one of those great frame shots, but that car ride just took for fucking ever. All to give us an ending. What was that ending? They had us feel like Johnny was going to catch up, and they built this great tension, but it never pays off. It never happens. The woman gets out, ties her leg off, and it took forever. How long does it really take to tie a tourniquet? We get some great panic in her eyes as she's scanning the woods looking for Johnny. Roll credits. What? Like, we didn't even get a satisfying final girl showdown with the villain. It's just that ending. What the hell was that? And I'll shut up for now because I don't want to get too fired up. Brian, what'd you think?
So, Nico, you mentioned you don't watch this for the tension, the slashers for the tension, and I get that. But to me, if you're talking about Halloween like you discussed, I get that because I root for Michael Myers and anybody. Most people do, so you don't really, you know, whatever. But in most other slashers, at least, I do at least want to care about the characters some. And that's what I mean. Like, you care and want them to get away, so there's some tension, like, as they're being chased or whatever. I didn't feel that at all in this movie whatsoever for any of them. The only time I felt that tension was in that truck at the end. I wrote this down while I was in the theater because I was literally, me and my wife were the only ones in the theater the entire time. So I had my phone out, and so I was taking some notes as I wrote, and I wrote this down because I wonder, and I don't know if it would have worked better or not, but I wonder if they should have fully committed to the first person point of view. Maybe when they swapped too much, it almost got a little bit too, I don't know, too weird for me. And when they swapped, it became yet less unique. If that makes any sense to me. So I did appreciate the test of trying to put a video game format into a movie and kind of see if it would work. I know it's been done in a couple, but not in horror. And so I thought it was at least unique enough that it drew my interest. But when they swapped from that, I didn't love it. The kills, I had a positive for the kills, but in my opinion, they went on a little bit too long. Like the kill you're talking about where he rips that girl's head through her body, for example. If that was, let's say, Jason, and he did it real quick and snapped it through, would have been awesome. But it was the slowness of every kill. It was dragging. It was being so slow and almost just focusing on the gore porn. It kind of lost me a little bit. I was just like, man, okay. Like, why did you need to cut his arm off first before you cut his head off? Like, it was little stuff like that. It was just like, it was like, hey, I want to show you some gore because I don't have a story. And that's what kind of lost me a little bit there. I did not care for the lack of soundtrack. Some parts I thought, okay, that was fine. But others I was like, man, I need some soundtrack. It got, like you said, monotonous and boring after a while. I did not like that mask at all. I wish he would have gone fully Jason head face because he looked good. It looked gross. You know, I did not care for the mask. I understand that it was specific for the time. But it wasn't scary to me. Also, what was specific for the time is Halloween 4, when we talked about him not having a mask anymore, just picking up that random mask at the gas station. It made sense for the story, but to me, it was still a bad mask, if that makes sense. I put the same thing about nobody can hear him walking. It's crazy because the sound of everything was so magnified. You could hear people talking, you know, inside the cabins like they were sitting right next to you, which was like, huh, are they doing that just so we know what they're saying? Or are they doing that because he has like super hearing? Regardless, you could hear him breathing, stepping on every fucking thing ever. And I was, how do you not hear that? It was crazy because, I mean, this big old fat dude, and I'm not trying to hard on that. I mean, he's just a big guy. And by the way, if you're walking around the woods all the time and that's all you do, man, maybe you wouldn't be so fat. Just saying, like, you know, like he'd be a little bit better in shape.
That's an old corn fed boy. He ain't fat. He just thick.
My biggest thing was not caring about the characters whatsoever. And sometimes that's fun whenever you're rooting for a killer like Jason or something. You're just, okay, these are just fodder for murders. But, you know, in a movie, especially that I don't even know who the killer is, I wanted that. That's all.
No, I feel you 100% on that. I didn't care about any of the characters either, except Lauren Marie Taylor, just because she's familiar to us. But like when I watch like the Terrifier movie, I know y'all aren't big fans, but I just like watching Art's performance. And I kind of, after, you know, a little while watching this movie, I kind of just went that route as well, just watching Johnny's performance. But I agree 100%. I don't think personally, Dustin, I do disagree a little bit. I don't think the acting was bad per se. Like, I mean, it wasn't great by any means, but like, I think Thanksgiving has god awful acting. Like, that's like the most abysmal stuff you'll ever see. But like, pretty a lot bad. Of those 80s movies that we love, the slashers, they don't have the best acting, but you care about the characters. You know, they have fun lines. They have memorable attributes about them. They have memorable scenes, you know. Like, even if the acting's not good, you at least care about them. We didn't care about any of these characters. No. And go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, just to touch on that, I agree. The acting doesn't have to be the best if they're well written. When you pair them together,
they're terribly written and bad dialogue.
So I didn't care about the characters at all, and the dialogue was bad. So when you pair that, the acting performances, they can't be subpar. So that made the acting seem that much worse. That's what I meant by the acting being bad across the board.
I agree 100% with you on that. I don't think they were terrible actors. I just think they were written terribly, and they had bad dialogue. We praised a lot of the kills. Well, Brian kind of did, but they did get drawn out too much. And, you know, me and Dustin touched on the same thing in our TikTok thing. Why did you do the sawmill, the log splitter on the arm, and then do the neck? Like, it's just, you're just filling time up. But there's some kills, it's like, it's right off screen. You don't see anything. And then you just, like the first kill, like, you don't even see it. You just, he's there. Then all of a sudden he walks by again and he's got a bloody hat and then like he's missing a limb, but we didn't see it. So, like, if you're going to be a gore porn movie, at least show it to us. Or going to be a kills movie, at least do it. Drowning a girl. Come on. Like, we didn't even see, like, him pulling her under. Like, we can at least see Johnny pulling her under. Like, you know, like in Jason Lives at the end, whenever he's pulling Megan under. Like, show us that stuff. At least we can, like, feel for her while she's drowning. And I do have a complaint about the yoga kill. I hear where you're coming from, Dustin, where she ran to the edge. But she had enough time to run horizontally. Like, she could have ran a different direction. She just stood there and just got hooked right in the back.
Listen, any good running backs coach is going to tell you, run north south, you don't run east west. She would that's just wasted yardage. But no, you ever heard of the phrase scared shitless? Like, she was frozen in fear.
Mom was too big, pissed down her leg. No, but another thing that me and you touched on the other night, Dustin, was like, when Buddy throws his axe, he like is a professional axe thrower. Hits the dude in the back of the head getting help. But then, like, when he throws it at the person on the four-wheeler, he, like, half-ass throws it, looking like, I don't know, what, JJ Costco and Tino out there? Like, what are you doing?
Costco and
like,
Tino.
Throw the damn axe. But I agree also, like, at the end, the guy who got killed, like, when they were hiding, like, I when I was watching that scene, I was like, all right, they're about to ambush this guy. They're hiding. Johnny walks past them. Then the guy ends up behind him somehow and gets hacked to death for like 2-3 minutes straight. And then she's just aimlessly walking around in the woods. And like Dustin said, she randomly has a stick through her foot. And what the hell is going on? Like, it just didn't make any sense.
While she was while she was aimlessly walking through the woods, I, in my head at first, thought she kept going in a circle and kept passing him, hacking him up still, because it would like show you her running, and then it would like you could still hear him hacking up. And I was like,
"That's what I thought.
If we can still hear that, is she running in a circle? Keep running by him. Keep running by him." I thought, "Well, she's definitely going to get caught," but obviously not.
Well, see, that's what I thought. I thought she was running around, got lost. It's easy to get turned around in the woods, so she kept in and back. Like Brian McKnight said, she ended up back at one again. But
I didn't say it, but the screen ratio was a negative for me for sure. Like I'm big. That's a nitpick for me. If it's not supposed to be made in the 80s, and it wasn't, because like you said, they had cell phones. It was modern day then. And if it's not something we're seeing from that time period, it doesn't make sense to me to have it that screen ratio. Sorry.
Well, about the ratio, you get this ratio, pal. You're wrong.
You know how much? You know how many awesome nature shots we'd have gotten in widescreen? You could have seen so much more nature,
dude. I was expecting you to harp on the nature shots, because we did get some, especially at the end, like after it looks like she's made it out. We got some incredible nature shots. But Nico, to touch on one of your negatives there, you mentioned the late kill. You didn't really like it. We didn't see her get pulled under anything. To me, I think that was an intentional choice that worked for me, because it made it seem that much more creepy. Like, there were no bubbles. There was no struggle. She's just out there swimming, doesn't know what snuck up on her. And then the shot of just how it all happened. Like, someone could have been 50 yards away in the woods and never known that she was pulled under and drowned because of how quiet It was, you know, she did pop up and scream, half-ass scream once or twice, but like it was, I think that I appreciated it that much more because it kind of took a step back and let us see what it would have been like if you were there, how eerie and how quick it can go, you know, go wrong. But anyway, and then I want to touch on something you said, Brian. You said you and Heather were the only two in the theater. I'm jealous of that. So I counted while you were doing yours. There's the theater that I was in, Auditorium 6 at Regal Pinnacle, Turkey Creek in Knoxville, Tennessee. There's 169 seats in that one auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I would say there was probably 10 empty seats.
Oh, wow.
So when I walked into this thing, I was expecting to have such a horrible experience. I thought people are going to be loud. People are going to be obnoxious. There's going to be people getting up and having to go to the bathroom. It was actually a good time. It was a good experience. You know, there was buddy next to me was finger banging the hell out of his popcorn bag for a while. But other than that, it was fine. And the only sounds we heard were some gasps at some of the kills and then some collective laughter at some of the kills because they were supposed to be funny. Like they were so over the top. How could you not laugh? And we all laughed at those. So that was fine. Let's go around the horn, give our final thoughts, and we'll get out of here. My final thoughts on the movie is this. I'm glad I have Regal Unlimited. So I pay $19 a month, and I get to go see unlimited movies for that. After watching this movie, I would have been a little upset if I paid full price to go watch it. You know, I do recommend watching it for sure because you can have fun with it. And, you know, we get on this show, we're breaking stuff down. We're being critical. That's what we're trying to do when we review something. But if you just go into it and want to have fun, you can do that. So I do recommend watching it, but I wouldn't go out of your way to see it. If there's nothing else to do and you want to go theater and it's playing, do it. Otherwise, just wait for it to come to streaming. On Letterboxd, I gave it 2.5 stars, which equates, you know, that's out of 5. So on a 1 to 10 rating, I'm at about a 5, probably 4.5 to 5 range. Just not that great to me. Brian, what's your final thoughts? Or Nico, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Dustin. I got the AMC A-list or whatever, so I can go see, you know, several movies a month as well. I wouldn't have been mad if I paid for it. I'll be honest with you. Like, I didn't have a god-awful time watching it. I thought it was decent. I've definitely seen worse in the theaters. Strangers Chapter 1, looking at you specifically. Yep. I'm going to give this movie one more praise. At least, you know, like it felt like a Jason ripoff, obviously, but it was at least different enough. Like Strangers Chapter 1 was a horrible ripoff of the first one. This one at least did some different things, which I can appreciate. Final thoughts, definitely worth a watch. If you're a slasher gore junkie, I think you'll like it, but it does get monotonous and the characters are bad. Like we've all mentioned, it's just a middle of the road movie to me, but I'm not mad that I watched it and I appreciate it for at least trying something different with a slasher.
Yeah, I know I have a little bit lower of a rating than you guys, but I also am pretty close to where you guys are in rating anyway. It's kind of funny that you guys both have unlimited, and I swear after watching this movie, and so the last two movies I've gone and seen were specifically, I mean, I wanted to see it, but I don't mind waiting for it to come out on streaming unless it's something like I've been like dying to see. But these last two movies I went and saw, Strangers and then this one, I was like, I only did it. I did it specifically for this podcast. And I thought to myself, wow, this might be the last time that I do this for some movie that I haven't seen in a while. Because like it wasn't terrible. I would say it rated right there about the same as Strangers. Let me ask you guys a question, because I asked Nico this, I think. I don't know if I did or didn't, but if it was Jason, if this was Friday the 13th, and everything was Jason-esque, it was him, he put on the hockey mask from the 80s or whatever, everything was Jason, would your score change for this movie?
I'll go first. No, I would have still been upset because if you're going to go that route, I would want Vincent DeSanti to do it instead of Chris Nash.
Well, I mean,
because he's made a better two, three better movies, Never Hike Alone, The Snow, Part 2, whatever. So, no, I would have been like, why the hell did this guy get to make this movie? It should have been someone else, respectfully.
I would have some allegiance to the character, obviously. Like, if you listen to this show, you've heard my Jason Lives and Freddy vs. Jason story. So I obviously have some affection for the Jason character, but even if it's just Jason, that doesn't make the characters more likable. Like, that doesn't make the monotonous walking through the woods get better. It's just, you just relate to the character for 40 plus years. So I don't, it might give like a half a point just because of some nostalgia and affection that I have in my heart for the Jason Voorhees character. But like you hate Jason X. I mean, you love Jason, but you hate that movie for whatever reasons. You know, when we get to it, we'll get to it. Like, just because you have one of my favorite characters in the movie is not going to make me like it more if everything else around it's bad.
Well,
that's just me.
My opinion is I think it would have rated it a little bit higher because, yeah, I wanted character development. But like I said earlier with Michael Myers, like, I don't care a whole lot about the character if somebody like Michael Myers is in it because that's who I'm rooting for or want to see kill people. Jason, like you said, I have that allegiance to him. There are plenty of Friday the 13th movies that are, you know, that don't have character development. They're just, you know, the counselors are just fodder for kills. And I think I would have liked it better. And it would have been higher than some Friday the 13th movies just because they did something different for the franchise. And I liked it. I wouldn't say I would like it better, because like you said, there were a lot of parts that were monotonous. But if I'm watching Jason walk through the woods with a hockey mask, to me, that's different.
It depends on which Jason actor it is, too. Like, if it's, no offense, but if it's like a Steve Dash, I'm good on that. Like, I need somebody imposing, and like Derek Mears would be cool to see, or CJ again, something like that. I can't watch a bad Jason. I like Halloween H2O, but Chris Duran's performance like brings it way down for me.
If this actor would have been playing Jason, to me, it would have been fine.
That's fair. I think he did a good job.
He killed it. No pun intended. But hey, Brian, you talked about your last two movies. So I was just looking the last few movies I've been seeing. Yeah, I've been disappointed a lot lately. I might need to cancel my membership. In a Violent Nature, disappointed. I saw the TV Glow, disappointed. The Strangers Chapter 1 speaks for itself. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, disappointed. And then the last movie that I had fun with, that I really loved and had a lot of fun with, was Abigail. And then before that, it was, you have to go all the way back to March when I saw Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, but that was fun for different reasons. Like, that movie was just awesome. So yeah, I'm on a bad streak, man. What the hell's happening to cinema?
But Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was good. It was good. I didn't love it. I would have been fine waiting and watching it on Shudder.
Yeah, exactly. You know. And that's my thing. Like, I don't mind waiting 2 weeks to watch something out, but there's maybe Deadpool and Wolverine will be the next thing I go and like have to go see at a theater. And
oh, no, brother. About it. I don't know. I'm there this weekend for Bad Boys. And
see, I can wait on that one. I love Bad Boys, but I can wait.
No, man. Bad Boys this Friday. And then I'll also probably go see The Watchers this weekend. But
that did look all
right. Good. It's been a lot of fun breaking it down with you guys. I'm sure that once it hits streaming, we'll do a full breakdown. If you made it this far and haven't seen the movie, hopefully we didn't spoil too much. But regardless, you know, support cinema, watch movies. And thanks for all of our listeners for tuning in, the continued support. Go to don'tgooutthere.com, become a blood donor. Shout out to all of our blood donors, and so long from Don't Go Out There.
Just want to remind everybody, don't go out there. When the hands of fate fall on the midnight hour, behind this mask of hate, I down the devil's power.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.